Welcome to the Let's Get Real podcast with Justin and Trisha Davis.
Honest conversations about life, love, and leadership.
Welcome to season four. Well, hey guys, before we launch into today's conversation, I want to tell you about something we're super excited about happening in May called Refinest Weekend. If you've been listening to our podcast, we've been talking about this epic weekend to get away with your spouse. And really, it is just this beautiful romantic setting in Nashville, Tennessee at a beautiful hotel. It's all inclusive and it's just a chance to get away, connect with each other, and it's Nashville and have fun. So we're going to share a little bit about that at the end of the podcast. But if you are interested, it is happening May 3rd through the 5th. All right, Justin. So we're jumping into a new topic this month.
We're going to be talking about this idea of burnout. And I think for many of us, we may not recognize when we're experiencing burnout, and we may not even know how it's affecting us or those around us. And so Trish and I are going to have just an honest and hopefully revealing conversation. I'm feeling a little bit convicted even talking about this today because I'm feeling a little crispy after my schedule the last couple weeks. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to be joined by a good friend of ours, Aaron Brockett, who's a pastor of a really large church here in Indianapolis. And he talks pretty openly and honestly about burnout from a leadership standpoint. And so I think it's going to be super helpful these next two podcast episodes. At least we hope that is, as we dive into this idea of burnout and how we can address it, identify it, and really recover from it.
I think the big question is just defining burnout, because it's almost like that buzzword that we can throw around, like, I love you, I'm burned out. But I think there's different layers where burnout is probably the extreme of exhaustion, that there are just seasons that are exhausting. So if you're listening and you're in a season of raising young kids and things feel just, I mean, you haven't slept in a couple of years, things feel stressful, that is a normal type of exhaustion. And it can absolutely lead to burnout. But most of the time, those type of moments of exhaustions or season are just that. They're seasonal. And so you know that change is a coming, and it may not come as fast as you want it to. I think for Justin and I, as you know, we've planted a couple of churches now, and you know, there's a season of church planning where it is like an all-in experience. It is super exhausting. And I think if you are listening and you've launched a business, you know this. It's like you become not only the CEO, the CFO, you also become the IT, you're doing websites. It's like there are seasons that are just exhausting. But when seasons begin to stack up on one another, it really begins to lead to burnout. And so can you define what burnout actually is?
Yeah, I mean, as we were kind of researching and talking through this episode, I said, hey, let's just start from a common place. Give me a definition of burnout. And Trish got out her phone and looked it up. And here's what she read, which felt like a kind of a nail in my chest as far as like how convicting this was. She said, burnout is a state of emotional, mental, and maybe physical exhaustion brought on by prolonged or repeated stress. And then here's what I think is very applicable to all of us. Though it's most often caused by problems at work, it can also appear in other areas of life, such as parenting and romantic relationships. And man, I just, as I think back about, you know, over the last 4 years since COVID and all that we've experienced over the last 4 years in our world, politically, financially, spiritually, like there's so much divisiveness and stress. It just feels like there's been kind of a collective oppression that we've all experienced. And I think, you know, a lot of us have found our way out of it, but I think not identifying some of those prolonged seasons of stress can bring on just pressure, you know, relationally, pressure financially. I think a lot of us may live under the pressure that we don't even realize that we're kind of allowing to be a part of our life, our parenting, our marriages, for those of us that are married, and even some of our friendships.
Yeah, it was interesting. Forbes magazine came out with a survey that gave statistics. This is just like America, like
right.
Americans,
yeah,
not even Christian. And, it was just like being human. 43% said they're exhausted, which is very interesting. 42% said they were stressed. I mean, that's almost half of the United States is feeling exhausted and stressed. And then 35% said they felt overwhelmed.
Yeah. You know, I think back, we've talked a couple of different times on this podcast about just the season of starting Hope City and the work that we did through COVID to try to keep Hope City going. And I think burnout is one of those things, unfortunately, that you don't realize you struggle with until you look back on it. And so hopefully our hope in this podcast and having this conversation is maybe just to give you some insight rather than having to wait until you crash and burn, is maybe to identify, man, am I feeling a prolonged sense of stress or anxiety or fear or depression or maybe some cynicism in my life right now that could be a sign of burnout, so that you don't have to wait, until you're in an unhealthy place or an isolated place to really take some restorative steps to get out of that place.
I think that is the difficulty about burnout, because it's elusive. Mm-hmm. It's not severe enough for us to feel like we need to do something different. So we talk ourselves kind of off what we don't even think we're on the ledge,
yeah.
Maybe near it. But we just think, okay, it's just a season. It's going to be over soon. And then all of a sudden we wake up one day and we feel the symptoms of burnout. And some of the symptoms are burnout is exhaustion, like beyond the ability to function, where yeah. You wake up and it's not even that you think about something or someone. It's like in your personhood, you wake up and go, I can't adult today. Like, I am just so exhausted.
And I think, one of the ways that I've tried to talk myself out of this condition is, well, I just need to take a nap. Or what we need, what I need is I just need a day off, or I just need a vacation. Mm-hmm. Right. And there is truth to that. Sometimes a nap is the most spiritual thing you can do. There is the truth that a day off is very healthy. We've had some epic vacations, but we've also had vacations where we have both been in a season of burnout, and that vacation was the savior. And so there was so much expectation. And so we look forward to it so much.
I don't know if we've told the story on our podcast about the worst spring break ever. And it was the first time that like all of our kids, our adult kids, their spouses, Justin's mom was coming, and we like to stay on the beach. So we'll stay in a shack if it is on the beach. So we found this 3-bedroom condo, and it was in our price point. It was beautiful. It was with a place like
a rental company.
Yeah. That we have used for 16 years. So there was no red flags. And we get there and we walk in, and you guys, it was like straight up out of like a murder scene. The fridge had bugs in it and on it. Part of the flooring tile in the kitchen was cracked, and if you stepped on it a certain way, it would pop off the floor.
There was an unknown substance on some of the sheets that we were like, have these even been washed?
So then, and my family knows how much I love, that's why I have my minivan since 1996. I love when all my people are together. And so it was like, I had put so much stock into this week and family time, and it had to be awesome, and everybody had to have a good time. So then I walk out onto our little outside area, our balcony, and to try and cool myself off. And this is where the unraveling happened in the most embarrassing way, because the furniture on the balcony was completely, I'm not like, not little corners, completely rusted over everywhere. Like I thought, oh my gosh, we are going to need a tetanus shot just to sit on this. And then the pictures that were online were like this beautiful panoramic view, which was now no longer a panoramic view because a huge multi-story house was being built next to our condo. And when I say it was being built, I mean there were probably 80 workers on this building with jackhammers, with
they're putting on shingles.
Yes. And I lost my mind. But I lost my mind. Really, the symptoms of like what was going on is what sent me over the edge. But two things happened. One, I was flaming out. I was so burned out and I needed this more than anybody. And then secondly, I put way too much expectation on myself and on my family that all of my problems and all of our family issues would somehow go away for this 4-day magical vacation with a million people in a 3-bedroom.
I think that is the deception of burnout because we think this is going to fix me.
Yeah.
Like this shopping trip's going to fix me. This vacation's going to fix me. This day off's going to fix me. This date night's going to fix me. And I think when we've experienced burnout, it's been these unsustainable paces, unsustainable expectations, unsustainable, seasons of running so hard, whether that be in parenting, whether that be through crisis, whether that be vocationally or in ministry in our case. And then we all of a sudden, it's taken us 3 months to get into this place, or it's taken us a year to get in this place. And we think, okay, one thing is going to just be a light switch that we flip on and it's all going to be better. And to your credit, you acknowledged your psychoticness. You said, hey, I know I had unrealistic expectations. This isn't really about this. So I think in the moment,
I appreciate you saying that. I don't think I got there until like 48 hours later.
Right. But... that's what I'm saying. By the end of the week, you were like, you know what? I put too much into this. But I think it helped you kind of look not necessarily to the vacation home, but more interior.
Yeah.
Going, what is going on inside of me?
Yeah.
That is causing me to react this way.
And that is kind of the positive thing about burnout, because burnout can mirror depression. They have a lot of commonalities with one another, but oftentimes burnout is around one aspect of your life that spills over into all other aspects of life. So as you're listening to this podcast, whether you're in your car, you're at home, whatever, I want you to think about when you hear the word burnout or you hear the word stress, what aspect of your life pops in your brain? Like, is it come immediately that you're like, oh, it's work. Work is so stressful. Is it finances? I'm just consumed with finances. It just stresses me out and I just need to close the next deal, or, you know, I need to make the next thing happen. I need to go back to school so I can make more money. Like, think about what consumes you. And oftentimes what happens is when we pinpoint that consumption of our heart, mind, and soul, we can then begin to flip the script to go, okay, how do I have agency over what is stressing me out? Because when we don't choose that, exhaustion leads to cynicism. And if you've not been this person, then you have worked with this person or you have lived with this person where they are cynical about everything.
Yeah.
Like they're just in a dark place and they've lost hope because they're so tired all the time. And so they don't have... I wouldn't even say it's malicious. It's more like, I can't handle you right now, which we've all said.
Well, and if you can't think about that from your own perspective, think about maybe some people in your life who have said, man, you're running really hard. Mm-hmm. Or man, you are so busy. Or maybe as you're talking to a friend or a family member, they're saying, hey, I know you're busy, but, right? Like there's already this assumption that you don't have time, that you're burning the candle at both ends. And people in your life, they're telling you that in ways that you may not even be hearing at this point. As I mentioned when we started the podcast, my schedule for the month of February was really busy. Our schedule for the month of February was really busy.
And then for this season?
Yes. And I said to Trish about 6 weeks ago, I said, hey, do you think I could work in a trip to Lima, Peru? And she's like, well, we're going to be speaking at a church in Ohio. Then you're going to fly to Lima, Peru. Then you're going to fly back. And then we're going to fly to Atlanta to speak at a church in Atlanta. And I'm like, well, I think I can do that. And what I've convinced myself of and what I've been told and what I've acknowledged, man, I have high capacity. I just have a high capacity. I have a high capacity to get things done. I can just do a lot of things. And that is true to a certain point. But as we were flying back, I said to Trish, I said, I'm just so tired. I'm so exhausted. And if I don't acknowledge that, if I don't do something about it, then I begin to get irritable. I begin to take out my exhaustion on those that are around me. And all of a sudden, what was supposed to be a season becomes my lifestyle. And that is my propensity, right? Other people have, struggle with other things. Burnout is kind of a badge of honor that workaholics like to wear. And that has been something that I have seen over our 28 years of marriage and our 25 plus years in ministry. I can see myself, I fall into that pattern because one, I'm doing things that are good. I'm helping marriages. I'm preaching sermons, right? I'm recording podcasts. Like idealize, whatever, you know, the word I'm trying to say.
I'm with you.
What we're trying to accomplish, and we can also then minimize what it's doing to our soul, what it's doing to our heart, how it's affecting those that we love the most.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you're like, oh, that's really not me. I have healthy boundaries. I feel you're the extreme where you feel like you're more sloth, that you'd rather just not do it. But if you find yourself kind of healthy in this area, I want to encourage you to think about who are the people in your life that do struggle with burnout, because when someone is in a place of health, they can do one or two things with the people around them. One, they can extend a hand and guide them and just live out that health in front of them. And some people will take that hand and say, thank you so much for asking me to go for a walk. I needed to get out of the house. And I literally have been sitting all day in my thoughts and I needed to get out. Or maybe it's saying, hey, let's plan a little girl's getaway. You have an opportunity to speak that into people. But oftentimes what happens, especially with burnout, when we are struggling with burnout and we see someone who is operating out of health, you become a mirror to our unhealth. And so those who are healthy in this area oftentimes become the punching bag of, like, you don't go as hard as I do and you don't know what it's like to be in my season of life. And that's where it, like, gets dysfunctional, is the burnout side with our friendships, that we just kind of, you know, like spewing fire all over the place and just setting relationships on fire, setting work on fire. And I think I want to bring that up because I want to shift the conversation to go, okay, how do we get out of burnout? And obviously I want to always add this caveat. Justin and I are huge proponents of counseling. We love our counselors. We believe in counseling to the point where our counselors are like, you guys don't need to be here this often anymore. Stay away. You're good. But there are things that you can start today. And if you are listening and you feel like you have a good hold on this and healthy boundaries, then I think you can be the friend that holds space for some of these things that we're going to talk about, of where to start. And where we would say the best place to start is confession. Mm-hmm. Confessing to a good friend, confessing to a spouse, confessing to someone that you know has the capacity to listen and not make it about them. Because if you confess to the wrong person, it could absolutely make you spiral.
I think an important aspect of that confession is, here's a great question to ask yourself as you're confessing that you might be feeling burnout. what area of my life am I trying to control that I'm not meant to control? As I look at kind of the root causes of burnout in my life over, you know, the past 30 years, it's me trying to control aspects of my life that I'm not meant to control. And so for you, that might, you know, finances, you know, if you could just close that next deal, or if you could just, you know, get your bonus, or if you could just pay off that credit card. And so that has you obsessed, and it has you justifying your pace, or, you know, working another weekend, or, you know, staying, you know, at work, you know, five nights a week, you know, and missing dinner. You know, we can justify those things. And so you're trying to control that aspect of your life. Maybe for you, it's a relationship, right? If you could just get that person to see things your way or understand your point of view. And so you're burnt out by trying to constantly invest in that relationship. And so if there's an area of control at work or relationally, or maybe in your marriage, that could bring exhaustion into your life. And so confessing that to a friend of, hey, I'm so worn out by trying to control this aspect of my life. I was in Peru with a good friend last week, Steve Carter. And on the first night of our trip, a tornado hit his neighborhood. And he was getting text messages at like midnight from his family, who was in the basement of their house in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, while we were 2,700 miles away in Peru. And we were having this conversation the next morning, and I said to him, I said, there's nothing that lets you know that you're not in control when you're getting as much as you're getting text messages like that, because he could do nothing. And it was just this reminder that there is a God and it's not us. And I think trying to be God in areas of our life that we're not meant to be God is a recipe for burnout, right? It's just, we just kind of grind ourselves down trying to control those things. And so maybe that's an aspect of confession that you could have with your spouse, or with a good friend, or with your counselor.
Next, I would say, you know, confession, I would say community. And you often become the sum of the people that you surround yourself with. And so if you surround yourself with foodies, you probably have been to a lot of amazing restaurants. If you surround by yourself with CrossFitters or fitness buffs, you are probably in good shape. Like there's just a reality that who we place in our life. And sometimes what happens in, like, unknowingly, we're in circles where burnout, especially in the workspace, is highly valued because they want you to work hard. And this, you know, this could be if you're in college and, you know, especially, you know, we've raised two college athletes, and just the intensity of which they live their life. Like, some of it is just proximity to people. And here's the good news with burnout. You can't do everything. Justin just said that, you know, God can, but you can't do everything. But you can do one thing. So maybe the one thing is taking inventory of your community. And this isn't like calling your friends and be like, I got to peace out. But it may be diversifying the people that you are around. And at first asking that question, what area of my life do I feel burned out? You may have multiple, but most often our burnout comes through like a lane that then that fatigue and burnout spills over into those other areas. Who in your life do you feel like would be healthy community? And again, it may be a counselor. It may be, you know, risking going to joining a small group at your church, or maybe even, you know, at a deeper level, a group that is in the lane of your struggle. There's a word I'm trying to think of. I can't think of it. Like a support group. I was going to say a help group.
Ding, 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 ding.
For me, I'm super excited. My friend Jess Connolly reached out to, you know, I think 50 women and that are in the sphere of leadership. And she just decided she was going to do what she has called Soul Camp. And she's providing it. All we have to do is pay for our hotel and getting to where she's at in Charleston, South Carolina. And I have no idea what I'm getting into. But her whole thing is Soul Camp. Like, we just want you to come and rest and be poured into. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea who's going to be there. I have no idea what we're going to do. But I know my confession right now in the area of burnout is I run too hard not to have community. And if you hang out with me, you'll find out I have lifelong friends. Like, usually if I meet you, you're my friend forever. And I have lifelong friends that all live in different states. Right. It's very rare that I have very close friends who live here. And so I have to fight for that community piece in a different way. And me going to Soul Camp is just, it is my next one thing that I can do. I can't change everything, but I can choose one thing. And so when you think about that, what comes to mind for you of that community piece? Is it a date night with your spouse? Is it maybe, you know, hanging out with your kids and just doing a family night with no expectations? So if the two-year-old freaks out or the baby poops his pants, like all of those things that can set us off, it may be simplifying a time of community that doesn't have to have all of these great expectations.
I think that's so wise because, you know, isolation only feeds burnout, right? As we're more fully known, then we are energized. Why? Because we're created for intimacy. We're created to be known. And I think, you know, as Trish and I were talking before we started recording, she was kind of reading off some stuff from Psychology Today and just talking about the power of isolation and how burnout brings a sense of isolation. And so, you know, it's why Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary, right? Like, he's inviting you into what? Being judged? No, community, right? That's he's inviting you into relationship. And it's through that relationship that that sense of burnout is addressed and identified. And interestingly, Jess has her book comes out, I think this week, called Tired of Being Tired. And so just she's even going to be talking about in her new book, this isn't sponsored by that book, but I wanted to throw it out there as a resource, you know, the idea of burnout and just getting over being exhausted and burnout. Her new book is all about that.
Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. You know, you mentioned Jess. What I do love about Jess is that she is a great example that she walks out life imperfectly. So it is just a nice, you know, do this conversation. We're walking it out with you. We don't have this perfectly. And I don't think any of us ever will. You don't remain in health forever. You ebb and flow. What the difference is between healthy living and unhealthy living is empowering yourself to know when you're getting into deep waters and being able to have tools to choose, know that you can have agency over, again, you can't change everything, but you can change one thing. And so maybe your one thing's confession. Maybe your one thing is community. I would say the biggest thing we've seen in our life, and we may share a little example here of, you know, how we've gotten out from burnout, is healthy rhythms. And again, when I say that, if you are a planner,
if you're an Enneagram one,
you're like, yes, but even when I say healthy rhythms, it could feel like a to-do list. Yeah. It could feel like a task. If you aren't highly organized and you kind of just feel like life, just, you just kind of go with the flow until that flow is like a raging current. And then you're like, oh my gosh, something needs to change. I would say when you think about a healthy rhythms, I would love to make that singular. What is one healthy rhythm that you could choose today in that vein of, this is what I feel stressed out about? And so you may be listening and going, guys, I can't quit my job and my job sucks. Or I've got a boss that is just, I don't like going to work. I can't fire my boss. I get that. But what is a healthy rhythm that you can do at work that allows you to get filled up even in that space?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I learned this in kind of a reverse way 2 years ago when the church closed, because I'd built, I mean, I think we all build our lives around our work rhythm. And the church closed on April 22nd, 2022. Thankfully, we closed well. So we had, you know, a few months of severance. So we didn't have, I didn't have to go get a job on April 23rd, 2022. But I woke up with nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh my gosh, like, what am I going to do? And I was in a state of burnout. And so it was this weird position to be able to go, how can I create healthy rhythms that restore my soul without the main thing of a job to build my schedule around? You know what I mean? And so I think sometimes it's the loss of something that allows you to kind of recalibrate. And so if you're in a season of, you know, the loss of a relationship or the loss of a job or the loss of a dream, don't use that as that. That doesn't need to be an obstacle. It could be an opportunity for you to recalibrate and go, okay, am I burnt out? And did my burnout contribute to maybe this loss? And how can I restore and reset a healthy rhythm in my life?
Yeah, I think my big takeaway in this crazy season that our family is, I feel like, kind of coming out of is just like intense loss. Intense loss. And I've talked to people, I was talking to one of my friends, and like they've just had so much loss in their life. And as we were just talking about it, it was like, geez, how are we still lifing? And but it's again, it's this idea of confession. And for me, I had this aha moment of who is bossing me? Who is bossing me? Am I letting my calendar boss me? Am I letting culture boss me? Am I bossing me? If that makes sense. You know, like what unspoken expectations do I keep putting on myself that become unmet? And then I'm literally at war with myself.
Like you're feeling guilty about things that you didn't come through that only you knew about.
Absolutely. And nobody else cares. I had a friend of mine say that to me one time and it just grated me. And he's like, Trish, I care about you, but nobody cares. And I was like, yes, they do. And he's like, no, they don't. They would care if you brought that to them, but nobody is putting their head on their pillow and thinking about what you're going through.
Well, my book, Being Real Good and Being Perfect, I talk about this article, and the title of the article is No One Is Thinking About You. It's basically this, it was from Harvard Business Journal. It's basically this idea that all of the things that we think people think about us, no one is thinking about you. And we put all of these expectations on ourselves that create unmet expectations because they're unrealistic, and then we feel burned out.
Yeah. So practically, as we kind of close this conversation, because you all know I love being deep in my feels. Obviously, it's where I live 90% of the time. But I am learning in the second half of my life to really embrace why. Why in the world am I doing this? Who cares? Like, am I doing this because it's healthy? Am I doing it just because I want to? Sometimes I want to's are the deepest place of guilt, especially if you're a mom. It's just like we have to figure out 5 reasons why it's okay for us to go do something that has no cause on our family, or, you know, like it just is. And when we are burned out, we can't see those.
Right. What is, like you said, one rhythm, what is one or two rhythms that like you have proactively put in your life that have either helped you come out of or maybe prevent?
Okay. If you know anything about the Enneagram and you're an Enneagram 1, you are going to love this. I am not. I'm an Enneagram 3. and it's going to sound counterintuitive, but one way I have not allowed my calendar to boss me is that I boss my calendar. And so, in other words, I take time every month and I, you know, figure out how you process things. I am a visual processor, but especially when I'm writing, I will remember something more when I'm writing it down. So yes, I have Google calendars upon Google calendars, but I have a paper calendar and I write everything down and I can see on there, where does accountability need to be this month? And the accountability needs to be, I'm speaking and traveling this amount of time. I need to have a day off. I'm in school. And so I know that I have intense projects that are due for school or our coaching. Like, there's so much that I could just allow life to happen and just say, well, is what it is. If you have kids, their calendar is like, what? Oh my goodness. Like, I have to drive 6 kids to 6 different places. I mean, that's extreme. But then it's like, okay, so drop your kid off and then go to Starbucks.
Baskin Robbins.
I love Baskin Robbins, you guys. I mean, just that's like, can't change everything. You can't change people's schedules, but you can change how you manage it and what you do with your time. And it has just been so, it's been freedom in our marriage because Justin and I get fight club about this because he is a workaholic and I am a hard worker, but I am a hardcore ruster. And if you try and get in my space when it is like my day off, may have had this conversation before we hopped on here, we get fight club with each other. Now, I will say what Justin is very good at is he doesn't just say, I'm a workaholic, get on my level. He knows that that is his propensity, but I'm not going to mom him in it. I'm not going to tell him what to do, but I can be an example of saying, hey, I love you, but I'm not doing that today because I'm off today.
Somehow I feel like this podcast is an intervention.
Again, Justin and I having this conversation when you have just come off of a 10-day travel run.
Yeah.
You're exhausted, but that's not an everyday
rhythm. Well, but even that, even in that, like the first thing that I did this morning is I typically, today is a different day. Well, maybe I did get up before everyone, but I usually get up before everybody else and I spend some quiet time with a cup of coffee, my Bible and my journal. Like that is a rhythm that if it's not in my life, I can feel it. And it doesn't excuse overworking, but it convicts me of overworking. It convicts me, you know what I mean? It helps set the table for my week, for my day, just for my mindset. It helps me realize when I am trying to control. It helps me just trust God for the things that are beyond my control so that I don't, you know, I can run hard schedule wise if I'm not burning myself out spiritually or emotionally. Those are way different things. And so I think that for me has been one aspect of my life, especially over the last 2 years, that has been consistent. It's been daily. Well, I say daily. It's not 7 days a week. It's probably 4 or 5 days a week. But it is consistent. And you know, Trish and I have a different mindset when it comes to our daily Bible reading. She like is very, very rule follower. So like if she misses January 4th, she'll read January 4th on January 5th, right? Well, I just skip January 4th and go to January 5th. I'm like, I'll catch it next year. But that has been something that I think has helped ground me. And
that is a great example though of burnout can happen spiritually, emotionally, relationally. It is important to figure out like what is that lane. I got burned out spiritually because I was scheduling my time with Jesus because I grew up in the 90s as a, you know, youth group kid. And it was just like, do your daily devotional at 4:30 a.m. because that's where Jesus meets people. And I am not a morning person. So I would like try and create this rhythm that worked for everybody else and it wasn't working for me. And so I was doing it out of duty,
right,
rather than taking time to meet with God. And so again, like, I have totally reclaimed that part of my life.
And so if you're listening and maybe you feel burnout religiously, right? Like maybe you're not going to church because, you know, you just kind of got burnout on church. You got burnout on religious people. I think acknowledging that, confessing it, mm-hmm. and looking for a way to reengage with God in a way that doesn't bring you shame or guilt, but really brings you freedom and brings you life. God isn't here to punish you or to lay a heavy burden on you. Jesus says, come to me, walk with me, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And that's what life with God looks like. And so we hope this has been helpful. We hope that it's been kind of the introduction to a conversation and maybe the illumination of maybe some areas of your relational world or maybe your spiritual world or even your emotional capacity that just feels burnt out and heavy and tired. And who in your life can you talk to about that? Thanks so much for being a part of this podcast. Trisha mentioned the Refine Us Weekend experience. If you are feeling burnout in your marriage, this would be a great weekend to get away. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at the Virgin Hotel on Music Row, downtown Nashville. We're going to feed you exquisitely. Everything's going to be catered. Your hotel room is going to be covered with your registration. Get away with us to Nashville and reclaim some energy in your marriage relationship. You can go to refineus.org/weekend and find out all the details. And we'd love just to pour into you, pour into your marriage, and help you maybe find a new rhythm in that area of your life, May 3rd through the 5th. Guys, get ready for another conversation in a few weeks with our good friend Aaron Brockett on this topic, and we'll talk to you then.